Mini episode 1813 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode 1813. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris coming at you with one of our great FDH Lounge dignitaries, Russ Cohen, also the 11-time author, I should say, and proprietor of Sportsology. Yes, and let's talk about that here at the outset. Okay. Before we get into our Four Nations review and our NHL stretch run breakdown, let's talk about your book, most importantly.
Yeah, it's called Game Winners. It's a book that we ranked the top 50 game-winning goals of all time, so it has to be a game winner. It could be a shootout winner. And we included Olympics, so there's at least one women's Olympic game in there as well. We also have some ones that we did as honorable mention. So it's a little more than 50.
Okay.
And yeah, so we rank them, and then we also grade them.
Okay.
So both Matthew Blitner and myself, my co-author, we do the post, we split the writing, somebody writes about that goal, and then we both gave our opinions on that goal. So like as an example, for the Bobby Orr flying through the air goal, doesn't get as many points as you think. It is a game winner,
okay. But
he wasn't flying through the air when he scored the goal. He got tripped on a cheap move by a St. Louis Blues defenseman after he scored the goal.
Yeah.
So, you know, that changes it a little. So we thought it'd be fun to do that and shed some light on it. So yeah, we have some big goals in there. There's some Detroit goals, of course. And there might be one against the Rangers in an overtime game in 1950. Might be in
okay.
there.
All right.
And so, yeah, we really got some big ones, though. There's plenty of Islanders. There's plenty of Rangers. The cover is Citi Field just because I had good photography of that one. So I used that one. And, yeah, it's just a fun book. And it's 230-something pages. And hopefully everybody will like it because it's just one of those that you can just kind of, you know, read a little bit at a time and kind of argue with us whether you think this goal should be in there or that one or should be higher. Everybody can find goals that are not in this book. I warn you now because
okay. There's
just too many.
Okay. All right. Well, and speaking of tough grading and games involving the St. Louis Blues, will we be seeing Stevie Y circa 1996 in there?
No. No.
But that's probably my favorite game-winning goal of all time,
right. Personally. But that's the whole thing. That's exactly the thing. Everybody has their favorites.
Yes.
But it's up to Matt and I. And, you know, we got some opinions from other people, too. But in the end, it's up to Matt and I.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, book number 11. This is awesome. And, look forward to pimping that with every one of your appearances here that we have you on.
Appreciate
for the time ahead. And yeah, always great to be able to do that. So at this point in the season, I think we generally always kind of link up here to take a look at the stretch run. But we're not coming off of an all-star break as we might normally be under other circumstances here. We had the Four Nations face-off that we are coming off of here, which was a lot more successful than probably any all-star game they've had in a long time. Something that really, you know, it's something that you and I talk about this a fair amount, and it's something that I see probably more than you, things that break out of the hockey bubble, because you're somebody where, I mean, you're very much immersed in the hockey media, and you have so many friends that are in it and everything like that. Most of mine are not.
Right.
And so when I'm hearing my friends, some of my friends talk hockey, but not a lot of them. So when I'm hearing those guys talk hockey, that tells me it's breaking through. I hipped off a couple of these guys ahead of time. Like, yo, you're going to want to check this out. This is going to be cool. And I don't think anybody I said it to was disappointed, Russ.
No, I think it caught fire organically. I mean, there were ticket sales troubles in both cities early on because I think people thought it was going to be like all-star game level. But, you know, I didn't think that only because once players put on their country's sweaters, it changes a lot. And an Olympic year next year, and the IIHF involved, it was going to have direct impact with the Olympics. I could tell that when the rosters were finally coming out, because I felt they came out a little late to kind of plug the event, you know, but, mm-hmm. you know, they did the way they did it. And I think two things made it a big success. Obviously, yeah, you could talk about the triple fight and everything, but we know that was contrived. I know people liked it because nobody would ever see three. I agree with that. The third mm-hmm. one was a complete surprise. Mm-hmm. If you go back and look at 96, though, you know, Keith Kachuk was on that team. They had fights early in that game, too, in the World Cup. So it's not mm-hmm. a surprise that his kids would conjure up the same thing for this. It's yeah. in the U.S. playbook. I kind of knew that. But the biggest thing was because of the sham of the NBA All-Star game that it was, people were looking for something to watch. And a lot of non-hockey fans did find these games, thought the level of competition was so good mm-hmm. that they watched. They loved it. And now this is where this is different than the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I agree that when the NHL's in the Olympics, they really don't gain any followers after the Olympics because Olympic hockey is different. But this was more like NHL hockey than it was Olympic hockey. And I think because of what I was seeing posts from people that had never watched hockey before, they liked it. I mean, we saw the numbers. They obliterated the NBA. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
You know, between U.S. and Canada, it was like 15 million in the final game. Mm-hmm. But the point was, these people were like, you know, I've never watched hockey before. They made a fan out of me. And I do think there's a fair amount of that came out of this because it was so good and competitive and everybody just played their hearts out. Like, there's players hurt now. Right? There's like at least five or six injured players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think you're going to see the carryover into the Olympics next year because it's not long to wait until we see them again here. And you and I have talked about this before, and it is true. The NHL never realizes direct benefits from the Olympic thing here. And that's why, and I think it's been incredibly short-sighted. If that were
the
case,
not to interrupt, then T.J. Sure. Oshie would be the biggest star on Earth, but he's not.
I get that. And I remember like one of my generally non-hockey watching friends texting me excitedly after that happened. And I haven't heard much about hockey from him. So I hear you on that. I hear you. But it's still a thing of like, I've been saying send them every 4 years because it's a thing where it doesn't put money in your pocket directly, but you have so few opportunities to break through and to become more than a niche, which I'm sad as a hockey fan and a baseball fan to say that they've both
baseball's
become really.
Becoming more of a niche than ever with the loss of ESPN. They're going to be on like five networks probably next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're both in a silo. And anytime you can break out of your silo, it's a thing where it's incumbent upon you to be able to monetize that and take advantage of it coming out of this. So next year with the Olympics, it'll be the boost of, hey, remember what happened last year? And, you know, the U.S. Canada things here.
I'll tell you what. I mean, because the NHL has no control over merch or anything from the Olympics, they don't really see any benefit. They had full control over merch from this. And even people who wanted to watch for bad reasons, like the people at Fox News, all bought USA jerseys. And so they sold a lot of merch to people that probably, you know, will never wear these hockey jerseys again, but wore them to kind of make a political point, which I think also added to everything.
It did. And I've never disagreed that hockey doesn't gain directly from the Olympics. But what I'm talking about is breaking out of the silo.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Introducing your game to a wider audience. And I don't know what the retention rate's going to be, but I mean, if the retention rate's even like 10% of like people that weren't watching hockey before that stick with it, that's my whole point, is that I think it's short-sighted to not be on that stage.
I mean, it's a sprint to the playoffs now. So I think it's easier to retain them off of this than it would be in other years where the All-Star game is earlier than this.
Yeah. And that's part of it as well here too. And that it really is kind of coming down to, again, that kind of sprint to the finish. And, in looking at this here, I am struck, you know, sort of going division by division here that I believe it was in my preseason predictions that I did have, Toronto winning the Atlantic, as they presently would be right now.
I think I had Florida, but it's a toss up.
Well, and I also had them going out in the first round of the Red Wings, which is looking a lot more plausible. Well, look, you know, the previous coaching staff, I think we can, all due respect, I think we can lay this all at their feet, because you must admit, Russ Cohen, you must admit it's been night and day since making the switch.
for which team? Detroit?
For Detroit, yeah. Yes. A coaching switch, yeah.
It has been night and day. I still don't know if they're guaranteed to make the playoffs. I think they're in position.
They're not guaranteed.
But they're in a much better position than they were last year. I acknowledge that. And the coaching is definitely better. And now they dumped Ville Husso to have cap space. So clearly Steve Yzerman's going to go against everything Steve Yzerman believes in and is going to spend money on a rental. So, you know, this is you're almost in ground where you were like in the 90s, but you're not quite there yet.
Well, the one thing is too, I mean, and you're a guy that can explain, you know, the intricacies of this here. Tell me why it just hasn't worked out with Tarasenko really to this point. Cause that has kind of really befuddled me. I mean, he's not what he was. He wasn't what he used to be last year, but he was still a darn good player. What's okay, not working?
Tell me the last time it's worked out for anybody with Tarasenko. I keep trying to tell Florida.
Okay. Yeah, you mean to say it didn't go well in Florida?
Well, it went okay. And I don't think it's really done much since. Okay. Again, I told the Rangers fan base, it was going to be a tough go with Tarasenko. It was a tough go. I felt like now with Detroit, it's a tough go. He's a different player. Like, he has to be on the power play. He has to score you occasional goals. But to do that, you got to play him probably more minutes than you want to. So I just think Tarasenko's past it. I felt like he's past it for a few years now.
Well, again, not where he was. I mean, when he was at his peak, I mean, he was a guy that I think a couple of times made my annual top 30 players list in the league. And he's not that guy anymore, but I thought it would still be more than this. But in looking at it here again, the Atlantic Division hasn't really had too many, at this point of the season anyway, surprises for me. Now that Ottawa's starting to kind of come back to the pack a little bit here, even Boston. I really thought Boston at this point was sort of going to be a fringe playoff team at best, and that's kind of how that's played out. So I can't really say in looking at the divisional standings right now that it's too much different than what I thought at the beginning of the year. How about you?
I think it's pretty close. I do want to point out with Florida, he played 24 games, only had 9 points.
Was that it? Really?
In the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did I end it? Oh, the playoffs. Okay, yeah. He wasn't as great in the playoffs. Regular season, I think.
14 and 19 in the season. But, you know, you need him in the playoffs. And with the Rangers, he had 4 points in 7 games in the playoffs. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I look at him. Is he's been tailing in the playoffs. Yeah, I think it's pretty close. Boston's got problems, though, now. Because, you know, now you've got Hampus Lindholm out and McAvoy out because of the Four Nations. I don't know. Yeah. Lindholm's out for the year. I don't know if McAvoy's coming out. I thought Boston would make it. Now they're going to have problems. We'll see. We'll see. But we can't sleep on Columbus. I still think they're going to make it. I think I'm going to tell you what's going to be a pivotal game, and I'm not going to be there, and you're not going to be there. But I do think the game at Ohio State will matter because
they have 2 games left. Both of them are going to be huge.
Yeah. That one in particular, though, like a lot of times when teams win that, whoever wins that can usually gain some momentum from that because it's a draining experience. Otherwise, it's more than just a game with the focus and everything else, the buildup and all of that.
Right.
And that's the one difference. The Winter Classic I love because it's a big spectacle, but the Stadium Series, a lot of times these games matter in the standings at that point. And so you're right. But I'd be worried about Columbus, and there's all this Seth Jones talk. What if they were to get Seth Jones back?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, and again, Columbus, I have to say, you know, to me is really kind of punched above its weight this year. They've been a surprise to me in looking at the Atlantic. I mean, the Metropolitan, I should say, not nearly as much as Washington. I mean, I
picked Washington to make the playoffs. I did not think they were going to be like the best team in hockey. But when we did a preview, I remember acknowledging the offseason they had because it was hard not to. You got Chychrun, you got Logan Thompson. They shored up some big areas. They got Verana for like nothing. You know, the Chychrun thing was massive. I mean, you just look at that and you say, wow. And then, you know, they have young guys, you have Connor McMichael, guys like that. They came up, they did great. Ovechkin, when was the last time you saw Ovechkin work out during a break? Like, he was working out with Kasparaitis because he's trying to break the record. So that's impressive. So yeah, Washington's one of the best teams in hockey now.
Yeah.
For this year. I don't know what's going to happen in the future with them, but for this year.
Hardly anybody saw that coming. I wouldn't say the same about Carolina being up there again, about New Jersey bouncing back. I think most pundits saw that coming. The one thing
I thought New Jersey would win that division. I'm you know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a surprise.
They'll be in the top three. They'll be in the top three.
Oh, yeah. The fact that they're hanging in there, I don't think anybody's surprised.
I'd like to talk about Carolina for a minute, though. Because
They swung for it, buddy. They swung from big.
Yeah, Tulski made his big move. They got Rantanen, but Rantanen doesn't seem to be liking the Brind'Amour system. He could get traded. He might get traded again.
Wow.
Don't be shocked at this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because they've been talking turkey with him, and if they don't come up with a contract, which, again, Tom Dundon, outside of his own guys, I can't think of a big contract that they've signed with a guy they've gotten off trade or free agent. They couldn't sign Gensel, right? I mean, same thing.
Right.
It may go the same way, except Gensel they held on to. Rantanen, they may retrade because he's not working out great.
I'm adding this up in my head with the salaries. Tarasenko, Kopp. Well, yeah, we can dream, can't we? But yeah. What I was going to say is that sort of the counterbalance to the great surprise of what Washington is doing, and it's now coming back the other way, as you knew it would be, but what had been the dismal surprise of what your Rangers had been doing for a good part of the season, which now you look at it and like starting to get that slingshot effect like St. Louis had in 2019, you know, that's what you must be hoping for.
Well, I mean, they haven't been my Rangers since Mark Messier. I mean, you know, I'm just like a media person now, but
yeah,
Chris Drury ruined them. I mean, Chris Drury, when he got rid of Jacob Trouba, mm-hmm. and all of that came out where they kind of forced him into getting rid of the no trade, and all of that didn't sit well in the locker room. So that caused the problem. Okay. And then all of a sudden you see players that are not playing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Kreider's not playing as well. Zibanejad's not playing as well. Lindgren just for... Some guys, you never know when it's going to run out, like when their magic's going to run out because of the way they play. Lindgren's mm-hmm. not the biggest guy, but he always gave it everything, and he just doesn't have it right now. Mm-hmm. So Lindgren is going to get traded. They didn't give him a new contract. He's going to get traded. Don't be surprised if Kreider or Zibanejad gets traded, and maybe both by the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the draft or such. So they're going to go through some changes, and it's been kind of ugly. I mean, look, they had that 8-2 loss to the Sabres. They stole one from the Penguins because it's Shesterkin, but they're not making the playoffs.
You don't think so? They're only a couple points out right now. Okay.
Everybody's a couple points out. You're a couple from the bottom, you're a couple from the top, but no, okay. I don't think they have the stuff to do it.
Honestly, I, as a Wings fan, am breathing a little easier hearing you say that because I've been thinking the Rangers are a team we may not stand.
Everybody's
front
thinking
of.
Like what they were, but if you really think about lately, the last couple of months, how inconsistent have they been? And I think the words vary.
Well, maybe, you know, again, maybe I'm going by, you know, just too recent of a history, but compared to where they were, they're playing better than that. But I mean, that's where, you know,
they hit rock bottom. Yeah. Now they're not rock bottom, but they're still pretty low.
Well, that's a tremendous insight right there from you. And right along with earlier on how I apparently did the Mandela effect on Tarasenko in Florida last year.
Yep.
Evidently,
well,
he did
win a championship. I mean,
he won it. Yeah, exactly. But I guess he wasn't as instrumental to it. Philadelphia had been really on the periphery, falling a little bit back of that. And then Pittsburgh just really kind of falling apart at this point.
No shock there, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they're at a crossroads now, and you can't put it all at the feet of Kyle Dubas because ownership kind of put him there because they kind of said, well, we just bought this team. It seemed like they probably gave him the marching orders that he couldn't rebuild, right? So he tried to do what he could do, and it didn't work out. It's hard to do that in this league, to just keep wallpapering over stuff and hope that – look at the Islanders. They've been trying to do that for the last 2.5 seasons at least, and they just keep falling deeper into the pit, the mud pit. It's like, you know, once you're in the muck there, you're in no man's land in the NHL, and it's hard to get out of no man's land.
Yeah, well, and again, my best friend is actually a Pitts Puke fan, and I said to him, because he's been grumbling about this, and I said, that's where we were a decade ago, pal, and I hate to tell you, but you're going to be down and out for a long time.
You're in the mushy middle, and you keep hitting the gas pedal, and you're falling further in it.
Ken Holland just wouldn't let go. Like, keep that streak alive, 25 years. You're going to be down and out for a long time. It is.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you. Yeah, I'm going to give you a story. So when the draft was in Carolina, I don't know what year it was. I was talking to a longtime Blues reporter, and we started talking about the draft, and he goes, yeah, this was a bad year. I'm like, no, this was a good year for the Blues. And he goes, why? This is the first time they missed the playoffs in like 20-something years. I'm like, yeah, they didn't have a good enough team. If you'd have limped into the playoffs, you'd have gotten swept, And then you wouldn't have had a decent draft position. At least now you have a better draft position. He looked at me like I had three heads, but yeah. I knew what I was talking about. Because again, when you get to that point where you're just trying everything you can and you can't make it to the playoffs, and then you fall into that, I don't know, let's say you're falling into that 13 to 15 spot or something in the draft. Mm-hmm. If it's a great draft, fine, you're fine. If it's this year's draft, yeah, you're not getting a franchise player in that spot. So, you know, those are things that you have to kind of look at some point, realize when you're an organization that, okay, at least even for this year, we kind of have to, you know, not give up because players are never going to throw it. But, you know, we could do things, make some trades, do some things. So if we drop a little, it's okay because we're going to get a better draft player. We're going to get a better player in the draft.
That's right. And I can tell you my mad Google foo skills here. I believe that was the 2004 NHL entry.
Yes,
draft.
I think you're right.
Okay. Yep. All right. All right. So that's the one that you remember that from. So in looking at the Eastern Conference, again, some real surprises. And I think, again, for both of us, probably more so in the Metro than the Atlantic. In the Central, I think once again, we would get to where there's a decent amount of surprises, because I don't remember off the top of my head. I probably had Winnipeg in the playoffs because I've been a little bit higher than on them than most the last couple of years still, but didn't have them getting off to the start that they did. I'll tell you that. I don't think anybody did. But Minnesota, the way that they've gone along strong, I think, once again, Dallas being up there, you know, notwithstanding some of their injuries, I think it's no great surprise that they're still up there. But Colorado just kind of, you know, lingering around sort of the periphery of the playoff picture there. I think that is surprising to many, as is the fact that Utah has had as strong of a year one in their new arena as they've had.
Yeah, I would say this. I know I picked Winnipeg to make the playoffs. I did not pick them to win that division. No way. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who I picked. It may have been Dallas. I don't know. But I do know that I think Colorado is just basically playing rope-a-dope now. Not that they're doing this on purpose, but they may be the best team that's not going to be a top three finisher. And I wouldn't want to be the team that plays them in the first round.
Yeah.
I look at Winnipeg. The first thing I remember saying when I was on a different show, I don't think it was yours, that I felt like Hellebuck was going to be the Vezina winner this year. Mm-hmm. And he's running away with it. Like, it's not even close. So I knew they would have a big year. And I said, Colorado or Winnipeg are going to be on that path right to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And so I still feel like either team could make it. With Colorado, certainly they had trouble in net. And that caught up with them. And then surprisingly, you know, I thought Blackwood was okay with San Jose. He was playing above, you know, above what you could do probably with San Jose. But I didn't know what was going to happen when he went there, because I don't think he's the same goalie when he was like really on it with the Devils. But you know what? He's doing well enough. Colorado just needs a goalie to play NHL average. They got one of the best offenses in the league, one of the best power plays in the league. They got three or four of the best players in the league. Well, now without Rantanen, but you still got Taves and Makar and that McKinnon guy. And, you know, you got a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
And they're dangerous as hell. I think they have Ross Colton there, right, who's won cups with Tampa, who mm-hmm. is a terrific playoff performer. You look at them, I don't want to face them in the playoffs. So they may – people may be sleeping on them, believe it or not.
Yeah. Oh, no, I trust me. As a hater, oh, yeah, I'm paranoid about them making a run in May and June. I could easily see it happening. And as you scale down a little bit lower in the division, I don't think it is any competition whatsoever. When we're talking flop of the year in the NHL, Nashville, after the offseason that they had, where they are right now, oh boy.
They're the worst underperforming team as far as, well, not underperforming, just
by a country
disappointing.
Mile.
Disappointing. Yeah. I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. And if you remember, I said I thought they were a bubble team. So many people were very bubbly over them because of Stamkos and everything. They just felt like in the offseason they were going to be great. And look, I'm not a Soros guy to begin with. So if mm-hmm. you're telling me Soros is getting them to the cup, I'm going to tell you I don't know about that, because I watched him when he filled in for Pekka Rinne in the cup and I still didn't like what I saw. He was younger then. But I just didn't believe in Nashville enough. I just figured bubble team, they're not going to make it. And if you want to look at how they systematically were taken apart, just look at some of their bad trades or cuts. They cut Dante Fabbro. Dante Fabbro's having a great year.
Yeah.
They traded Tomasino to the Penguins. Tomasino's having a good year. They decided, because Askarov was a guy who turned over the net in the AHL when he would win a game, that he's not a trots guy. So They trade him to San Jose, and he's going to be a star for them for the next 10 years, starting next year probably. Mm-hmm. So they systematically took apart a lot of their good young prospects, and then there's a lot of guys that they haven't done a good job with drafting, and that's their formula. Like right now, they're not getting out of it. They're in a mushy middle now. I don't know how, you know, they have Roman Yossi, sure, they've got some good players, but they, you know, they have trouble scoring. Like Forsberg is the miracle of all miracles, because he's the only guy that seems to be able to score in that market consistently.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where, and looking at this, and I hate to say this because I have a lot of regard for the guy, but I mean, it clearly seems like it's the Peter principle putting Trotz in as your GM. Yeah.
No experience as a GM. Sure. Great coach.
Yeah.
But again, just go back to Bill Parcells wanting to buy the groceries. What happened when Bill Parcells bought the groceries?
Yeah.
Not enough.
Yeah. Well, and look, you know, my hero, the greatest coach of all time, Scotty Bowman, so many years in Buffalo running the personnel stuff. Right. I mean, not everybody's cut out to do that.
Listen, I'm going to go back to, I was at the 2000 NFL draft, mm-hmm. and Bill Parcells was there, and they had an old scout, and he was with him, I think, with the Giants and with New England.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was New England before the Jets, right? Am I getting that right? I think so.
Yeah.
With Parcells. And that guy said, draft Tom Brady. And they drafted Chad Pennington, which, again, I didn't know who the hell Tom Brady was at that draft. So I was happy. I'm like, yeah, Chad Pennington. And Chad was a really good quarterback.
Yes.
Nothing, but he wasn't Tom Brady. But they could have had Tom Brady.
And we all would have taken Chad Pennington. He was a first-round pick.
Right.
You know.
But my point is, we didn't know who Tom Brady was, but this old scout did.
Right.
And they didn't listen to him.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. I mean, that is very interesting. Yeah. I don't remember like the Browns took one of their many throwaway QBs, like a couple picks before Tom Brady. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, so many teams out there have stories of that. And the funniest thing is,
the Browns are still screwing up on that. So, you know, whatever.
They are, and while I have no skin in the game as far as anything they're doing these days, I should point out that it hasn't been much better for the Jets either. But we'll have to see what happens.
The Browns actually had a good team that they dismantled with a bad signing at quarterback. The Jets didn't even get to that point.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, too, where I'll give the Jets credit is they purged where they needed to.
Yeah.
The Giants, I mean, unless the Giants are in the biggest – blatant tank for Arch Manning that we've ever seen, because I got them for like
maybe that's what it is. I used to have, like, I shouldn't say faith because I'm not a Giants fan, but I had respect for them. I have no respect for them anymore.
Yeah I mean, well, Big Blue was nobody to laugh at. I mean, they were always at least competent.
Yes.
And then, like, yeah, where they're at now, it's just, yeah, that's all it can be, is that they want Arch Manning so badly that, like, nobody's going to come within, you know, four losses of them next year. Maybe. Basically. But and looking at this here with the Pacific, I will pat myself on the back here for thinking that
any opportunity you can, you do.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. That, you know, I wear my arm out doing that. But Vegas, I thought they were going to have a strong year here and come off of what they did last year. And Vegas and Edmonton, I did expect.
Yeah, I think I had Edmonton winning it, but they're neck and neck. I mean,
they're neck and neck. It could still go either way. And. You know, it's an interesting division.
The Kings are the surprising ones staying in it to me.
They kind of are, yeah. You know, and then Vancouver, you know, being at the periphery. I mean, they're a team that I would expect to make it in the end.
They're going to make it, but we would be remiss if we didn't point out the mess that they had, and that's why they traded JT Miller. And Pettersson is just not getting it together. Everybody thought, well, maybe now if Miller's gone and there's no fighting, I don't know. Elias Pettersson may need a change too, but they're not going to do it in season. So. And Thatcher Demko is injured. He is going to come back. It's like a muscle behind the knee. But, you know, they just signed Lankin into a five-year deal. So, to me, that signals they're probably going to trade Demko, because we heard rumors, or there were murmurs about 6-8 weeks ago that maybe he's not happy there. And I was just like, really? But now, based on what Vancouver did, signing Lankin in the way they did, I don't think they're going to have $10 million invested in goalies next year. So, I think at some point Demko is going to get traded. But they've been professional enough and good enough that I do think they're making the playoffs, and I don't think they're going to go very far at all.
Yeah, that's about exactly where I have them going here. And, you know, Calgary's been a team the last couple of years that I've always expected them to do a little bit more than they've done, and they're at least on the periphery of the race this year. So,
see, I'm the opposite. I expected nothing out of them this year because I felt like they had stripped them down to a point where they couldn't. and they've overachieved and they're in it and they've overachieved. Dustin Wolf has a lot to do with it, and he's going to be in the Calder race for sure.
Sure.
As a goalie. And I like the kid. I interviewed him extensively at the rookie photo shoot about a year ago. It's on my Instagram account. Very, very impressed with him. And honestly, without him, I mean, they wouldn't even be where they are.
That is very, very true. And going down further in the division here, I mean, it's one of those things where if you're working in the organization in Seattle, you almost have to be grateful for Nashville existing, because like nobody's going to look at you as the biggest disappointment of the year. But like what they're doing there, I have expected more out of them the last couple of years. I mean, and they peaked with that playoff win over Colorado and have not been the same ever since.
Sure. But the positive end is, they do have guys that they drafted, and Beniers is still not exactly where he should be. But right. Shane Wright is. Shane Wright has really picked up steam, and I know a lot of people slagged him when, you know, he was supposed to go first, and what he dropped to 4 or 5, and then, you know, didn't get much playing time under Dave Haxtell, which is no shock. I'm not a big Dave Haxtell fan. And then he goes to Coachella, does great there. Now he's, you know, if you want to use fancy stats, he's been one of the top scorers for like, I want to say 2-3 months for goals per 60. So he's really picked it up. Part of his magic, by the way, is another Ranger mess up with trading Kako there. Him and Kako have been really formidable together. And so that's a big deal. And that's, they both needed that. So yeah, I mean, Seattle will be okay, but not for this year.
Yeah, exactly. They're just not where some of some people, myself included, thought that they might be for this year. But
the salmon's still good there, though.
Yeah, I've heard that. And our boy FDH Lounge dignitary Ben Chu, a native of Portland, has been up to that arena. And
same Ben Chu that we wrote an NBA book.
That's right. The top 50 players in pro football, pro basketball history. How do I botch it right there? The top 50 players
in
basketball history. Yes. My ability to botch on any type of thing with a Freudian slip is unparalleled.
And it's on Amazon.com as well.
It's on Amazon. It's one of the 11 books there by Russ Cohen. Russ, hold that one up again. You got it off camera close enough there.
Yep.
All right.
Game winners.
There it is. And the game winner's book. Yeah. So in looking at this here, so I thought beginning of the season, conference finals, I mean, and this remains highly plausible, I would say, at least in the Eastern Conference and maybe in the Western Conference. I had it New Jersey over Florida in 6, Vegas over Colorado in 7. Colorado, as we said right now, you got to squint a little bit harder to see it, but still seems eminently plausible.
It's them or Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg could be the team because they just do everything right.
Yeah.
But Colorado, they all of a sudden got hot. It wouldn't shock me. I don't really want to pick it until after the trade deadline, to be honest.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. I said New Jersey over Vegas in 7 in the final, and I
thought New Jersey could make it to the conference finals. Now I kind of have my doubts.
Yeah.
It depends what they do with the deadline, because they've been playing really weird hockey. And I think Ottawa, I think on your show, I think I picked Ottawa to make the playoffs, and
I think you might have. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've been up there the whole year.
Yeah. Well, they're in there.
I will say this, though. I mean, again, as the Wings have been coming up through the standings, I mean, we always look at things through the prism of our own team. I've been looking at it, and again, maybe it's just, you know, you got to prove it to me. But I've been consistently like, I'm not sweating Ottawa. I might be sweating the Rangers. I might be sweating some of these other teams here. But I just the whole year of not – I've kind of thought they were going to kind of come back to the pack.
You should sweat Ottawa if Allmark gets on a heater. I think that's the key to their season. So because he hasn't been exactly what they wanted him to be this year, if he gets there, then you might be sweating it. I think right now you're just drinking too much moonshine or something.
Well, that is true, and that's where – but it's one of those things where – when a team gets a goalie and it's, you know, outside of the comfort system of where they've been. I mean, we all knew that, like, going there, he was not going to have the blue line in front of him that he did in Boston. Yeah. So you always kind of wonder how that's going to play out. But like you said, I mean, he does have
that. I got to mention two teams here, though.
Okay.
The first one who's had a surprisingly good season that I think exceeded what we all thought is Tampa. Tampa, this has been like a bounce back year for them, and I don't know what they're going to do at the deadline, but they always have Vasilevsky, and they could still be dangerous because they still have enough players that know how to win. and have a history of winning. Plus Cooper, he's okay. He seems to be able to win. I'm obviously making light of that. John Cooper, who went to Hofstra University, which is next to Nassau Community, where I went to community college while he went to. And the Leafs, I don't know, man. I mean, they're having a great year. Nobody believes it just because they want to see him get, you know, further in the playoffs, but they're pretty impressive. Their defense is much better than it used to be. A lot of it's hung, you know, it's hung on Joseph Woll, who's a young goalie, but I don't know. Could the Leafs surprise people? Like, this, maybe this is the year when nobody talks about them and then they do something.
If my preseason prediction holds up and they win the Atlantic and they lose in a 1-4 matchup to the Red Wings, how pissed are they going to be?
No, they would be. That would kill people. I mean,
it would. Heart attacks in the street in Toronto.
It would be like Leaf Square. Like, nothing clears out quicker than Leaf Square in the playoffs. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that being the case. Yeah, Tampa Bay, again, they're a team I had making the playoffs. I had them maybe kind of eking in a little bit more than it looks like they're going to do. They're going to solidly make the playoffs here at this point. But, I mean, you know, Tampa Bay and Florida in the first round. I mean, you know, shoot that right into my veins, brother.
You know? Florida's got problems, though. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk, he's clearly going to be out a long time with this groin injury. So I don't know if they could do anything without Tkachuk.
That's true. Yeah, they're going to need him to hold up and be okay. And so that is going to be something that ends up factoring.
I mean, he may not be okay until April. I don't know if they'll make it that far, you know, like if they'll make it past the first round, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, they got 71 points right now. So, I mean, I don't think they're going, they're not going past the three seed. I wouldn't think so, you know, but yeah, I mean, obviously he's their franchise player. He's, you know, I mean, you know, a little bit ahead of, I think most of us would say ahead of Barkov in that regard. So yes, they need him to come in. They need him to do that. And so, you know, yeah, it is going to be an amazing, for, like you said, trade deadline, stretch run coming up. Any other notes that we didn't get to in your mind of what's going on in the league right now?
No, I mean, I want to talk about Juan Soto hitting a homer in his first at bat in the spring training. That was pretty cool.
Congratulations. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a heck of a lineup. For the sake of my keeper fantasy team, I was a little bummed to see Alonso come back because I was hoping y'all would move Vientos to first base and give me that eligibility. I still got Austin Riley, brother. Now I got a DH one of those
guys. I got Austin Riley, too, who had a bad year last year. I'm going to just tell you this, though, and I'm going to tell all the people out there for a fantasy hint. Okay. A lot of people cut or got unenamored with Jeff McNeil. Okay. His swing looks like it's back this spring. Okay. So we'll see. And if it is, he's probably going to hit like sixth, something like that, in a very potent lineup. He could be a pickup for a lot of people. So I'll give him that.
Sleeper ribby candidate, to be sure. I mean, if you're in sixth in that lineup, you're going to be seeing a lot of ducks on the pond, brother. Yeah,
six or seven, that's probably where you can see him.
You know, if he's straightening out that swing, that's going to count for a lot. And, you know, y'all are going to give me a strong position. Man, that division, man, that whole year, like Atlanta and y'all and the Phillies. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's tough. And Montas is out now till past June because I didn't like that signing. And Manaea now has an oblique. So I don't know. They better sign Quintana soon. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up doing that. And, you know, he I'm sure would like the surroundings of being there this year. Who wouldn't? And all those years when you guys were dealing with the whole Bernie Madoff curse, and you had a lot in common. Yeah, you had a lot in common with my tribe. You just wouldn't spend the money you needed.
It was so pathetic. Like, that was such a downtime. It's just, I mean, Met fans have gone through plenty of downtimes, but that was the worst because all of a sudden you woke up and it was like, the Mets aren't worth anything. It was like, wait, why did they get involved with Bernie Madoff and the Yankees didn't? Like, that was so disappointing.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you fluked it to the World Series in 2015 the same way we did in 2016, but, you know, that's the commonality with the ownership. Didn't have
I'm going to give you a player. I'm going to give you a player who I wrote about this week for GTS, and we both write for
that's
them.
That's right. Go GTS Live, baby.
And Chase DeLauder, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. He's a heck of a prospect. I think he may have a chance to. You don't like any Guardian prospect.
He's on my keeper team, brother. He has been.
All right.
Yeah.
You were making the face, and I'm like, you know.
No, you missed it. It was the gloating face if I have him. But it was.
He seems like he's a player.
I actually, there have been some prospects in recent years that I have liked. I am sad that I just ended up having, I had to make roster decisions for the keeper team the other day. Had to let George Valera go. A guy that, as a prospect, had been compared to who? A young Juan Soto. But, you know, hey, maybe the Mets will sign him, right? I mean, you don't think so?
No. That'd be somebody's, like signing Nelson Cruz when he's 41. It's just not going to happen.
Somebody's going to sign Valera, and he's going to make him look stupid. No, they won't.
It doesn't take much to make the Guardians look stupid at
times.
That
is true. That is true. Albeit, you know, we're also doing this on the day that Larry Dolan passed away. But that,
I didn't know that.
I'm the fact that I'm not restrained in what I'm saying, Russ, tells you my feelings.
I'm going to be respectful here.
I don't wish anything on him, but whatever. But that's
where. And neither does my cat.
Neither does your cat, and neither does my stuffed Red Wing octopus. That doesn't have a bad thing to say either about Larry Dolan. So God bless, even if I didn't like your stewardship of the team. You know, didn't wish this on you, but whatever. So, yeah, always what I do like, though, is always getting a chance to do segments with you. First time on our new video platform here. First of many. A throwback to the Sports Talk Network
shirt.
Days.
Very nice shirt.
Thank you. Yes, I'm, and I tell you what.
This is an homage to Schitt's Creek. That was the store that David had.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice. And it, something I will tell you, here's a teaser for in the future here as I'm rotating through my lounge shirts and buying a few new ones while I'm at it here. If you note the FDH Fire logo right above my head here, I have one of those shirts that has like a lot of flames on it and stuff. So
I like it. Like Van Bigelow.
Yes, I will be surrounded by flames above me and on my shirt for a subsequent episode.
Now you just
here.
Need the tattoo on your head.
That's right. I should get the tattooed skull cap. Yeah, if it was Halloween season, I could just go out to one of these pop-up stores and get one. But hey, that's what Amazon and Temu are for. I'm sure I can find Temu. It somewhere. my nephew and nieces are on that 24/7.
Oh, my God. It's a junk store.
It is, but they love it for that stuff. So, but something that is never a junk store is the FDH Lounge, particularly when we have the great Russ Cohen on with us, 11-time author, Sportsology proprietor, longtime FDH Lounge dignitary. Hold it up one more time, buddy, that book there.
Yep, there it is. Game winners, go out and get it. Thank you.
All right, go out and get it. Available at fine book retailers everywhere, and of course Amazon and everywhere else on God's green earth. So thank you very much for being here, Russ, and thank you everybody for checking out FDH Lounge mini episode 1813.